Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 146, verses 2 through 9. I will praise the Lord, as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
Our New Testament reading is taken from the book of 1 Timothy. Timothy, written by Paul to his understudy, Timothy, who shared in ministry and had become a new convert under the Apostle Paul. And so these are a lot of words of instruction and encouragement. And the preceding verses are a lot about how what not to do if you want to thrive in your Christian life. But beginning with verse 11, Paul shares these words. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Life is a battle. Struggle is very much a part of what human existence and experience is about. I mean, you think about this, from the moment that you were born into this world, that, you know, that is the, from the time you worked your way through your mother's birth canal and came hurtling into this earthly existence, you have been engaged in the struggle that we call life. Biologically, your body has been fighting a battle. Throughout however many years you have been alive, your immune system has been hard at work, fighting off infections and diseases, sometimes with more success than at others. Now think about this. During this time of worship, your white blood cells will have killed off 10,000 invading cells containing disease. And that's only if the service goes for an hour. I was thinking, so if it went for 2 hours, that would kill off 20,000. What if we went for 3 hours? Think of how many more would be killed off. But I won't do that. because you might die. Frequently, we don't know how hard the body is working until something bad happens. Illness, or an accident, or injury. I mean, all it takes in your body is to have an aberration of cell multiplication or a slight malfunction of a vital organ, and we are quite literally fighting for our lives. And yet for some people, the biological battles are the least of their concerns. Many folks these days are also fighting a financial battle, struggling to keep their financial boat afloat. I think of single parents out there who scrimp and save to make ends meet. I know a mother who is working 3 part-time jobs in order to help her son get through college. And she said, "I have no time for anything else in my life. My other 2 kids at home are being neglected because of all this time I have to work. Each day," she said, "is like climbing a mountain." Something for us to consider is that many of the people who live in this region of Cleveland are living in poverty, mm-hmm, or on the cusp of it. And there is an undeniable gap growing between the rich and the poor. And then I think also about the literal battles that are going on around the world, wars and skirmishes sprinkled all over the globe, it seems. You know, throughout my Army career, I've taken several training sessions and military classes on military history, because you're reflecting on what those experiences were and how they're going to inform the strategy for the future. And you learned about all the different wars that were fought throughout history. And I recall in one of these classes, the instructor came in and he said, "World history can be defined as this. It is a history of war interrupted by periods of peace." War has been that one constant throughout history. And no nation seemed to know this more than the people of Israel. They were just this small, struggling nation, God's covenant people. And then the superpowers of their day, one generation after another, would go marching through there and would thwart them. They were constantly fighting battles, fighting for their lives as a nation. And you consider, you know, the recent unrest that's going on today in this same region, it's so sobering to realize how little has changed. Now, you would think that with all of the battles that beset our lives for our health and well-being, for the well-being of the people that we care about, and the strife that is raging throughout the world, you'd think that we wouldn't want to have unnecessary conflict. But I would suggest to you that many of us are fighting the wrong battles in life. We bring misery into our lives because we choose struggles that are no good. Maybe today could be a time to assess what those struggles may be. What are the motives that are driving your life? What battles are worth fighting? I think of the battles that many of us are fighting to be successful in life. Many people in America are fighting the battle to achieve, trying to obtain success at any cost, because that's what's admired. That's what people respect. We're told early on in life that if you work hard enough, if you sacrifice enough, then you can have whatever it is that you want. And maybe your parents didn't tell you that, but the other voices of our world did. The idea is that, you know, if you can't get what you want in life, it means you're not working hard enough. You haven't sacrificed the way you should have. You need to work harder and harder. And sometimes our lives can resemble riding on a stationary bike. Maybe you've used one of these before. The whole idea of a stationary bike is you get exercise, you can watch television, you can talk to the person who's next to you. But that also can be kind of a metaphor for our lives, because no matter how hard you pedal, it's not going anywhere. Sometimes when you strive for success, and that is the ultimate goal of your life, it can seem the same way. No matter how hard you work, no matter how much effort you may put into it, you don't get that success you're striving for. Or maybe when you do get to that success, you find out it's not as great as I thought it would be, so therefore I have to go for more. And so we get back on the bike again. Another battle, not worth fighting, is the battle of resentment. Some time ago, back in the 80s, I saw the movie Amadeus. Do you remember that movie? It tells the story about Mozart, the composer, but actually it tells the story about his fellow composer named Salieri, who is in awe of the beauty found in Mozart's music. Now, Bob, I understand that the movie doesn't necessarily depict accurately Mozart and Salieri, but it's a great message that the movie brings anyway. So while Salieri, he loves Mozart's music, but he despises Mozart as a person. And the movie portrays Mozart as like a spoiled child, obnoxious, flamboyant. Salieri can't understand, why is it that Mozart has the gift, but I don't? And at one point in the movie, you see Salieri offering up a very sincere prayer to God. If you just give me the gift, I'll devote my whole life, all of my music, to you. Well, the sad part about it is that Salieri was a good composer in his own right. People loved his music. He was popular. But this resentment becomes so great. He gets so consumed with wanting to bring Mozart down that he begins to neglect his own music and his vocation, rather than being able to celebrate the gifts he has and the gifts that Mozart has. He becomes consumed with destroying Mozart. And I remember this one scene in the movie when he takes a crucifix off the wall and he throws it into the fire because of his frustration. And he says, God, I defy you. That's sad, isn't it? Because, you know, as Mozart would go on to die an early death, Salieri grew older and Mozart's music became more and more popular as he got older. But it's a movie. This movie is a parable about how in our own attempts to bring somebody else down, we end up bringing ourselves down. I heard it put this way. Resentment is the poison we drink, hoping somebody else drops dead. Another self-defeating battle is the battle of appearances. Now, there was this British television show, which I used to watch at various times over the years, and it was called Keeping Up Appearances. Anybody remember that one? Okay. The main character in the show, her name is Hyacinth Bucket. But she tries to pronounce it bouquet because it sounds more sophisticated. She's always looking for a way to impress her friends with how sophisticated she is. There she is. Hyacinth wants to convince people that she comes from a family of wealth and prestige, and she goes to excruciating lengths to put on the appearance of that. And I remember in one show, she's traveling by car with one of her friends, and the friend offers to drop her off at her house. And, of course, you know, Hyacinth doesn't want her to know that she lives in a modest middle-class neighborhood. And so she has this friend take her to a rather prestigious neighborhood and drop her off in front of the larger homes that's there. And as she walks up the sidewalk toward the front door, she takes her handkerchief, waves to her friend, and she waits for that friend to be out of sight, and then she dashes for the backyard of that house, hoists herself over a stone wall, and begins to slowly make her way back to her house. And as you're watching this, you know, you're laughing. You're saying, you know, why is it that anyone would want to make such an effort to make herself look prestigious or sophisticated? But we know that even as we laugh at Hyacinth and others like her, there's a part of us that knows there's a little piece of her in all of us. Think about the things that we do in the name of making ourselves look good, or the things that we do in the name of appearing respectable. That's the spirit of Hyacinth. We need to hear anew the words of the Apostle Paul that we heard a few moments ago when he said, fight the good fight of faith. And he's saying, of all the battles that we have in this life, of all the conflicts and all the struggles that we have to go through, the one which is the most worth fighting is the one for our faith and the living of that faith. He says this, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession. When you consider all the time and the effort that we put into striving for a better life, shouldn't we be doing more to strive for eternal life? Much of the Christian life, I think, is determining which battles you're going to fight. Paul was writing this letter to his young disciple, Timothy, who shared in his ministry, who needed Paul's guidance and instruction. He needed to know what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And maybe this was no better counsel that he could have given him. Notice his instruction to Timothy is this: pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These are the aspirations worth striving for. This is the good fight. There are times I think we need to stop ourselves when caught up into the frenzy of everyday life and think about the choices that we're making and the battles that we're fighting. Do they reflect this? Righteousness, godliness, love, or striving for success, clinging to resentments, or keeping up appearances. It's those seemingly little choices that we make every day through the twists and the turns of life which determines what our Christian walk is. Which is to say that the Christian fight is a daily fight. Each day is a chance where we can either draw ourselves closer to God or be pulled further away. And of course, the supreme model of the one who fought the good fight is Jesus. With every step Jesus took, every word that Jesus spoke, he fought the good fight. Do not worry, says Jesus, what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will put on, because life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Don't fight for these things. Seek first, fight first for the kingdom of God, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Jesus shows us the way. Jesus wants to point us in the direction of where we are to put our energies and how we are to best serve God Himself. But I'm thinking, you know, beyond just looking at Jesus and His life, it would do us well to connect ourselves with people who are willing to hold us accountable when we're not engaging the right battles. It might be that we're our own worst enemies when it comes to battles we choose, but even worse than that, we often have a way of being totally oblivious when we are making destructive choices. And that's where your Christian friends are helpful. You know, a good friend will support decisions you make in life. A good friend will be there in your times of need and trouble. But your best friend is the one who tells you when you're not fighting the right fight. They take the trouble and the risk of holding you accountable. There is no such thing as spending too much time pursuing righteousness, godliness, and love, gentleness. In other words, there's plenty to keep us busy just focusing on those things. And so when we stand before God, He's not going to ask us how successful we were or how many people that we impressed. He's going to ask, did you fight
the good fight. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think, to him be the power and the glory now and forever. Amen and amen.